From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Wilmont.
Midtown, San Jose.
19th Avenue, San Francisco.
San Mateo.
Sunnyvale.
Celsius District of San Francisco.
Financial District.
Coming up, legalizing urban farming in the city of Richmond.
The way that the zoning in Richmond is right now, all of the use of vacant lots or front yards or city parks for growing food is illegal.
Then, how an urban farm is helping young people grow more than just vegetables.
It's something good to do in the summer instead of just staying home, you know, just doing nothing, wasting time.
And we'll meet the leader of the Spanish Harlem Orchestra. From laying down a fresh salsa beat to planting fresh vegetables, that's all coming up today on Cross Currents. Many parts of residential Richmond are food deserts, with grocery stores rare or non-existent. The city has also faced a rash of foreclosures, and vacant lots owned by absentee landlords often become targets for illegal dumping. Over the past few years, some residents have been addressing both of these problems with one potential solution: urban farming. Now the city government is getting involved with a new draft ordinance on urban agriculture. KALW's Mary Reese has more.
A vibrant mural announces Happy Lot Farm and Garden to visitors and anyone passing by. A greenhouse stands in the middle of the lot, and an improvised chicken coop occupies one corner. The trees and raspberry beds that head farmer Andromeda Brooks and her farm volunteers planted here a few years ago are now bearing fruit, and anyone who chips in gets to take home some of the harvest. Brooks started Happy Lot almost 3 years ago as a community project to improve the neighborhood's morale.
I sit back and giggle when people say people want to get back to farming and growing their own food, and I never left. I mean, that was my nature.
She's worked hard to carve this farm out of the vacant lot next to her house, and that work is paying off, sometimes in surprising ways. Take the colony of bees she established just last year. When an expert beekeeper came to harvest the honey, he warned her not to expect too much from a young colony. Then they opened the hive.
And he was, "Holy smokes, what did you do?" And I always say, "Nothing." So, we got a gallon of honey and was able to distribute it to a lot of people.
Brooks foots the bill for the water all herself, hooking up a 100-foot-long hose to the spigot on her house next door. It's her biggest expense in running the farm, so for now, she's collecting rainwater and looking for alternatives.
I could see a well out here. We have a pretty high water table this close to the water shore.
But drilling a well requires a permit, and Brooks is in a legal gray area when it comes to the lot her farm sits on. As far as permission to use the land, she has only a memorandum of understanding with Self-Sustaining Communities, a nonprofit that leases various plots from the city. But according to the nonprofit, the city never officially wrote up the lease for Happy Lot Farm and Garden. So Brooks would rather keep a low profile.
It's like sticking your finger in the pond. Is this going to be the one ripple that makes them want to say, "That's it"?
It's the purveyor of snails.
Further east, near 6th Street, Doria Robinson is showing me around a two-block stretch of the Richmond Greenway, a former railway bed turned city park and bike trail. 6 years ago, her nonprofit, Urban Tilth, started planting a community garden here.
We have fruit trees and pollinators on the north side of the bike trail.
Robinson is executive director of Urban Tilth, which runs 13 community gardens around Richmond. Today, the second Saturday of the month, volunteers are preparing some of the beds for planting. Robinson explains that the water at this garden is paid for by the city because the Richmond Greenway is city land. And it turns out that watering fruits and vegetables here takes less water than sprinkling lawns.
It's way cheaper for them, for us to use drip in the beds than if they had to water a bunch of grass. They actually put in irrigation lines. So there's irrigation lines in the whole 42-block long stretch.
Still, the legal status of these farming projects is uncertain.
technically, the way that the zoning in Richmond is right now, all of the use of vacant lots or, you know, front yards or city parks for growing food is illegal. That's the way that our planning department reads the code. You know, if it isn't explicitly allowed, it's not allowed.
Proposed local legislation may soon change that. Richmond City Council member Tom Butt and the staff at City Hall have drafted an urban agriculture ordinance that would define what kind of plant and animal raising is allowed and where in the city. It would also permit urban gardeners to sell their produce at temporary farm stands if they have a city business license.
It mainly provides a way that people can create urban farms or do urban gardening on a larger scale than just a backyard garden and make it legal.
Richmond's general plan is based on a guideline called Health in All Policies. That means the city must evaluate every proposed law for how it will affect the health of the people who live or work in Richmond. Councilmember Butt says many people in Richmond don't get enough fruits and vegetables.
People depend on small markets that are scattered all around town, and some of them are actually more liquor stores and other types of outlets, and they are grocery stores. They don't have a lot of healthy food available.
And Butt says making empty lots productive is another plus for the health of Richmond residents.
It becomes an asset to the community. It's an area where people are growing healthy food, and they not only are providing that food to the community, but oftentimes there are community people involved in it.
Okay, I don't know if we are doing this right, but we're doing our best. Or at least... This side looks very different from your side, so...
More and more people in Richmond are getting involved with projects like Urban Tilth and Happy Lot Farm. And it's not limited just to gardening. Urban Tilth's Doria Robinson says a bike mechanic shows up every second Saturday at the Greenway to fix the gardening volunteers' bikes for free.
It's an awesome service. You know, we don't have a bike shop in Richmond, so they're here to do that, volunteer bike mechanics.
Meanwhile, the weeds in the berry beds have grabbed Robinson's attention.
Sorry, I can't help myself.
And Robinson doesn't only get her hands into the dirt. When the first draft of the ordinance didn't allow gardens near large apartment buildings, Robinson and other community advocates dug into city politics, too.
There are some concerns about bees and animals and whether or not you should have community gardens and high-density living spaces. Which for me is like a no-brainer. Of course you should. That's where you need them most because people don't have access to land.
The revised ordinance now allows small community gardens near dense apartment buildings. And that may expose even more people to the fun of digging in the dirt.
That is the largest radish plant I've ever seen.
In Richmond, I'm Mary Reese for Cross Currents.
The full city council is expected to take a closer look at changing the law in September. Tell us what you think about urban gardens. How do you keep your green thumb in the city? Give us a call at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Julie Kane. In that last story, we met Doria Robinson, who's working to secure the future of urban agriculture in Richmond through her nonprofit, Urban Tilth.
So if the soil is said to be in good tilth, it's full of, you know, biodynamic, like biological activity, healthy, strong soil, living soil. The whole idea is that urban tilth is bringing the life back into urban living, bringing that biological, healthy activity back into the city.
Urban Tilth's main focus is on greening the city, but they also have a program to give young people paid summer jobs so they can grow both food and their futures. KALW's Isabel Angel visited the program and brought back this story.
It's a sunny, windy afternoon in Richmond, and Adam Boisvert is out in a garden.
Right now, we are in the heart of the Richmond High School garden. This is half of the growing space that we have.
The garden is about half as big as one of the tennis courts that butt up against one side. Along its other sides, it's surrounded by portable classrooms, a blacktop, and the back of the football field bleachers. Inside a chain-link fence, there are colorful vegetable beds full of plants like kale, chard, squash, basil, and strawberries. There are also fruit trees, a composting system, and even a rabbit hutch. Beauvert is a project manager for Urban Tilth, a Richmond-based organization that focuses on urban farming and food policy.
We have seven youth here from our program and also some from YouthWorks taking part on an apprenticeship program learning about organic agriculture, organic soil production, and also learning about food justice and how to take food from our community and nourish ourselves with it.
Urban Tilth's summer apprenticeship program is now in its sixth year, with locations all over Richmond. This one at Richmond High has about 12 students.
It's something good to do in the summer instead of just staying home, just doing nothing, wasting time.
As of now, I would just be in my bed, just taking a nap. That's it. Eating. That's it.
This is giving me an opportunity to be active and out.
Those are Urban Tilth apprentices Dante Ricardo, Nakia Witte, and Carlos Hernandez.
My name is Carlos Hernandez. I'm from Richmond, and I'm going to be a senior this year. Yeah, I love nature.
Hernandez attends Vista High School in Richmond. His mentor was helping him figure out what to do this summer and asked him what kind of job he was interested in.
I told him that I don't really like being enclosed, like in a place. I like being out in the open with the sun and the clouds and the air.
So his mentor said, hey, check out this farming apprenticeship program at Urban Tilth. And Hernandez says it's actually been perfect for him.
I learned a lot of, well, the basics of landscaping. So that'll help me with what I want to do because I don't want to be inside stuck in an office, be out and about.
He says the program has also helped him with some more intangible skills.
I learned how to communicate with people, how to not be shy, and how to say what I have in mind. Like, before I would be shy, I wouldn't talk at all, but now I'm, like, more open to making friends and try not to be shy.
Project manager Adam Beauvert says that's not by accident. Those kinds of skills are an integral part of the apprenticeship.
The emphasis in the first 3 days of, like, orientation for the program are all around mindfulness, around conflict resolution and emotional literacy, and how to talk about how we're feeling, how to communicate our triggers, how to communicate, you know, our state that we come into every day.
A lot of the kids that Urban Tilth serves, in fact, a lot of kids in Richmond, have firsthand experience with poverty or violence.
Some people come from a traumatic situation at home. Some folks come from just, you know, an entire lifetime of traumatic situations. So it's really teaching kids how to be communicative about that.
Boisvert says besides communication skills, the program's focus on gardening also teaches project management, and that can help apprentices get all kinds of jobs.
You're learning how to care for life forms. You're learning how to take care of a project from start to finish, and the proof's in the pudding. You know, if you can't eat at the end of the day, you know why. So you messed up somewhere along the way. So it's really good to be able to take something like that and have checkpoints along the way and see your success and taste your success.
Boisvert says some past apprentices are now full-time staffers at Urban Tilth, and others have gone on to jobs in everything from restorative justice to solar companies. Current apprentice Nakia Witte is already thinking ahead.
This will really look good on college applications and other job applications that you put out, so it'll be like already a foot in the door.
And for these kids, a foot in the door may be all they need. In Richmond, I'm Isabel Angel for Cross Currents.
Want to learn more about urban farming in Richmond and across the Bay Area? Visit us at kalw.org and click on Cross Currents. Listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Julie Kane. The Spanish Harlem Orchestra is known from New York to the Bay Area. The orchestra's versatile leader, pianist Oscar Hernandez, can get down with a salsa beat or play a lilting Latin jazz tune. In this jazz perspective from producer Reese Ehrlich, Hernandez says Latin music isn't just for dancing.
Pianist Oscar Hernandez, leader of the Spanish Harlem Orchestra, is one of the titans of Latin music. He can play a pounding son montuno or arrange great Latin versions of classic jazz tunes. He wants Latin music to be appreciated like jazz and has mixed feelings when audiences jump out of their seats to dance.
I take a lot of pride in what we do, and there's a tradition and a legacy that's been set forth by a lot of great people that we've all been lucky enough to perform with. There's a lot of artistic value to our music. You could listen to a great jazz performance and you're there, it doesn't move you to dance. It moves you to sit there and just listen to the music. But when you hear Spanish Harlem Orchestra, especially in a concert setting, I like to think that people would sit down and just appreciate it from that perspective. It's not party time.
Hernandez was raised in New York City in a large family.
I grew up a family of 11. I'm the only musician. For me, it just was meant to be. Started playing trumpet when I was 12. Somebody gave us a piano, because if not, I wouldn't have been able to afford one. And I was I feel it was destined for me to play it, because they gave us a piano. And at the age of 14, I started playing the piano and started playing with local neighborhood bands at 15 and 16, and started playing professionally already at 17, 18 years old.
Todita mi gente se pone bueno el ambiente con la hispánica del barrio.
Hernandez later went on to earn a music degree from the City University of New York, but he says the best training came from the early years playing with skilled musicians.
You don't get that education in any university, so what can I tell you? The school of the street.
Hernandez's big break came when he joined Ismael Quintana's band, then one of the most popular salsa groups in the country. He declared his independence by moving out of his parents' home and buying a car. He went on to play with vocalist Ruben Blades, one of the most creative Latin musicians in the U.S. Blades himself had just split from another famous salsero.
I played with Ruben Blades when he decided to leave Willie Colon and form his own group. At the time, he was the most popular singer in the salsa scene. It was 1983. I was part of the formation of his group, Seis del Solal and Song del Solal. And I was a musical director from 1983 through 1996, 13 years. And we made some great recordings, all of which I'm very proud of.
The friendship was to last decades. Blades was the guest artist on Spanish Harlem Orchestra's 2004 hit, Across 110th Street.
He did a tour with us with Spanish Harlem Orchestra because he recorded it on our second record. I guess maybe I owe us winning the Grammy to him being on the record, probably. For sure, because he was on three of the songs.
Spanish Harlem Orchestra continues to keep alive the Latin music traditions of earlier eras, in part by playing the classical styles that have fallen out of favor in recent years.
Nuestra Canción is a beautiful, beautiful bolero. That, for me, is a style that people no longer hear or want to record, and I'll always put a bolero in our records because it's a huge part of our tradition and it's one of the most beautiful aspects of our music. It's a ballad. It's a slow song. It's not fast. It's not salsa related, I mean, in that sense. But it's the sentiment of our culture and a sentiment of our people in a way that's just, like, magnificent for me.
Una nueva emoción vibra en mi corazón. No hay nadie más
Spanish Harlem Orchestra plans to release a new CD in 2014. It contains a mix of the group's hard salsa and Latin jazz, and includes guest artists Chick Corea and Joe Lovano. I'm Reese Ehrlich with a perspective on jazz.
Brilla el diente sol de mi gran pasión por ti.
For more jazz perspectives, visit kalw.org and click on Cross Currents, or you can go to jazzcorner.com.
En mi pecho no cabe más felicidad. Todo canta al besarte a ti. Al verte sonreír.
Now, some music does make people want to jump up, dance, and sing. Here's another edition of my mixtape.
My name is Fatima Duran. I live in San Francisco. My song is Bidi Bidi Bum Bum by Selena because it's what I grew up listening to when I would grab a brush and sing on top of my bed.
And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes Isabel Angel, Hanat Baba, Nina Gensler-Debs, Jenny Butler, Lisa Carmack, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hoff, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Ted Muldoon, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, and Liza Veal. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. Our line producer is Sandhya Dirks. Our senior producers are Jen Chien and me, Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Holly Kernan is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And because of your support, we can proudly say we are sustainably grown, listener-supported public radio. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We'll hear about a potential new late-night transit option for crossing the bay.
As soon as we'd mention the idea to somebody, like, the main response was like, oh my God, like, when do you start, you know? How do I sign up?
That's tomorrow on Cross Currents from KALW News. We'll close the show with an early goodnight, or Goodnight Texas, the band you're hearing now.
Haven't got a penny, haven't got a dime, but I know how to have a good old time. I ain't got a dollar, baby, when I do, gonna go and spend it all on you. When I get the money,
you can hear Goodnight Texas on Thursday when they appear at the Chapel in San Francisco. Doors open at 8 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Julie Kane.
Never gonna find us till the day we die, you and me together.